You'll turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Chapter 11. I'll read verses 7 through 10. Lord willing, I'll also deal with some of the verses in chapter 12 this morning, but we'll begin by reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. The light is pleasant, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet, know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. This morning already, in the scripture that's been read and the songs that have been sung, there's been an emphasis on joy. To shout joyfully to the Lord, to sing joyfully to the Lord. There's been the reading of Scripture that has encouraged us to do that. And the ideas of praising God, even from our youth. And these are the ideas that we will encounter in the Scripture this morning. The idea of youth versus old age. The idea of how to deal with parts of life that come upon us in any of those particular places. It's really kind of a broad perspective, because even in a room like we have this morning, we have very young people and we have very old people. And I know that's not very nice to say, is it? You can't say that today. That's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? But the scripture addresses that way. It is an issue of age. It's an issue of experience. It's an issue of life itself. And it's an issue of the body growing through maturity into old age. One person once said, "Inside every old person is a young person wondering what happened." As I've gotten older, I don't really feel any older. I've talked to many of you that oftentimes in your mind, you don't really feel like you're 50 or 60 or 70 or 80. In your mind, you feel like you were just as young. Now, there are things in your body that don't quite work the same anymore. But it's part of the process of us growing older. And we are kind of that person that's talked about. There is in us still this young person wondering, what happened? Where did it all go? In June, Beth and I will, Lord willing, celebrate 20 years of marriage. Now, to many of you in the room, you say, 20 years, that's nothing. But in a sense, for Beth and I, where we are, that's a lot. It's hard to imagine that there was a time when we didn't know each other. It's hard to imagine there was a time that you didn't know your spouse or know of your children. Life passes by so quickly. And the Ecclesiastes writer gives us some very important things to remember. To remember while it's passing by. Number one, remember to live in the joy of everyday life. Remember to live in the joy of everyday life. Look at verse 7. The light is pleasant, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. We have to remember that life itself is a joyful blessing from God. Stephen said, his mercies are new every morning. There's a hymn that reminds us of that because the Scripture teaches us that, even in Ecclesiastes. His mercies are new every morning. Now, it may not feel that way some days when you get up and your body doesn't feel the way it did yesterday or the way it did 10 years ago, or you're just having, in general, a bad week or a bad month, or really, most of us would say 2020 has been a very difficult, if not terrible, year. Life itself is a joyful blessing from God. Don't forget it. Remember, this very day is a joyful blessing from God. It's good to see the sun. One of the writers that I've read quite often is a Scottish gentleman. And he talks about Scotland being so gray and rainy and dark, and how you love to see the sun when it does come out. And there are times even here in the South that we have rainy weeks, and seems like in the winter it gets very dark and gray. It's not as maybe dark and gray as compared to other places. But for us, we know it's a joy to be able to wake up and just see the sun. Walk out in it. Feel the sun. Why is that a joy? Because you actually have an existence. Your body is still alive and it's working. And you know who gave it to you? God did. God did. If you woke up this morning, the fact that your eyes opened and your body was still working in whatever condition it's still working, your brain is still functioning in whatever condition it's still functioning, that fact, it is a blessing from God. And you need to be joyful. You need to be joyful in it. The idea of joy and rejoicing is in the Scripture well over 500 times. If you count the idea in and of itself, it's in the Scripture thousands of times. Well, not only is life itself a joyful blessing from God, but in verse 8 we get an understanding that no matter your age, there is a command to joyfully remember the blessing of life. We've stated a fact. Your very life is a blessing from God. The fact that you woke up and had the sun on you, the fact that your eyes could see the pleasantness of light, that in and of itself is a fact, and it's a blessing from God. Secondly, no matter our age, there's a command for us to remember the joyful blessing of life. In one sense, we could say it's a command to have joy as a Christian. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but think about it. That's in the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is in the fruit of the Spirit. But not only is this command in the sense of joy, but in verse 8 it says, indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all. The phrase here in its context is a command. We're commanded to rejoice in all the days that God gives us on this earth. And we are commanded to rejoice and live joyfully unto God. And if it's a command, it means not to do it is to sin. You and I sin against God when we live in constant pessimism, frustration, anger, whatever else you want to put in there, and we're not looking to the joyfulness that God has given us in life itself. The fact that we could wake up and have another day. The fact that we could see the sun. The fact that we've had these days given to us by God Himself. We sin against Him when we live in days of pure pessimism and depression and anger and even hate in our hearts. It seems today it's a lot easier to be angry and to hate than it is to have joy. Everybody seems to be angry at somebody. This political group's angry at this one. This political group's angry at this one. This social group's angry at this one. This individual's angry at this one. Here we're angry, there we're angry, everywhere we're angry, E-I-E-I-O. We're we're just growing a big farm of anger. You know what that is? That's just sin and depravity working itself out in flesh. And the preacher here in Ecclesiastes is telling us, we're not to be ones who wake up and remember anger and anger and anger and anger. We're to remember the joyful blessing of life that God gave us. No matter our age, we should live, even if we live many years, let us rejoice in them all and let him remember the days of darkness. Why would we want to remember the days of darkness? Because after the darkness comes joy. There's a lot of times that it's the darkness that brings us to a place of joy. The days of darkness are not supposed to be left to themselves, as if we just live in them and roll around like muddy pigs in the darkness and just love the darkness. There's an element of joy. Now, in one sense, this is a human element. But because of depravity, it's so dim and darkened. But as Christians, it ought to be a place that we strive. To remember this command that God has given, that there is joy in this life, and that this life is a blessing from God. One writer says, we have already seen how enjoyment is a gift from God, and like all his other gifts, we are responsible to God for what we have done with it. Fruit of the Spirit commands us to joy, then it's a gift from God. The very Spirit of God gives us a gift of joy in our very souls and hearts. The question is, what are we going to do with it? He goes on and says, enjoyment is not only permitted. Sometimes we act like joy is something that can be permitted. Well, I'll allow joy to happen in my life today. He says, no, it's not only permitted, it is commanded. It is not only an opportunity, it is a divine imperative. Have you thought about that much lately? I have to admit, there are times I just don't think about joy being a divine imperative or a divine command. You and I, as Christians, are commanded to look at the blessings of life from the perspective of God and His Scripture and everything He's given us, and to live a life that has a basis of joy in it. I have to admit, there's just been times, especially in this last year, that's just not been very evident in my own life. It's been a lot easier to be frustrated than it has been to be joyful. This writer goes on and says, this means, since this is a divine command, this means that pleasure or joy is a divine decree that we ignore at our peril. If you ignore the command to be joyful in God, especially as a believer, you do so to your peril. It will affect your life. It will affect how you look at others. It will affect how you deal with those who are closest to you in your life. If you're mad at everybody in the world for everything that's happened around you that didn't go your way, you're going to treat probably even your family in a way that's unjoyful and unkind. Some time ago when we were reading through the book of Deuteronomy, I was struck by this idea that God was commanding the people to serve the Lord and to serve Him in joy. And it says that they did not do so. He says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in the lack of all things. And he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. Deuteronomy 28:47-48 give us this context. This was specific to the people of Israel. They have been given over to this, but one of the reasons they were given over to it, if you read the earlier portions of the chapter, is the commands of the Lord were considered to be blessings. And when they didn't want to obey God in those commands, what they were saying to God is, your commands aren't blessings. Your commands are a yoke to you, to us, and we don't want your commands. We want to live our way. And God said, fine, if you don't see what I've given you as a joy, then I'll let you know what a true yoke is. When we don't look at the commands of God as blessings to us, then we will live a life of anger and frustration, and we will do so even against not only our family, but against God. And over time, we will be shown what a true yoke really is when we don't look to God and His commands as blessings and joy in our life. Well, in verse 9, he says, rejoice, young man, during your childhood. And let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. Young people, appropriately enjoy your youth and youthful days. Now, the word appropriately is important there. And the context is in the very verse itself. But your youthful days are not to be days where you don't enjoy them. You should have joy in your youth. You should have joy as a child and an upcoming adult and a young adult. Notice that context in verse 9. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. There's a sense in which every aspect of youthfulness is centered around the idea of recognizing that your days are a blessing from God. Most young people miss that. They're so involved in themselves and thinking about what's next for me. It's all about me. What can I do? What can I have next? What can be given to me? What can I get here? It's all so self-centered that youthfulness sometimes forgets it's a blessing from God. Whether you're a teenager or whether you're a young person in your 20s, sometimes you're so wrapped up in yourselves that you forget the very days that you have right now. The fact that you woke up today is a blessing from God. And you should enjoy it. You should enjoy these days in your youthfulness because there's things you can do in your youthfulness that you're not able to do when you get older. And all of it is a blessing from God. Appropriately enjoy the vigor and vitality of your youth. Everybody's looking for the fountain of youth. It used to be that explorers explored the world looking for the fountain of youth. Now we have every commercial imaginable that tries to help us with the fountain of youth. I can buy a hat that has little red lights in it, and I can wear it to help the fact that I'm not only losing my hair, but it's turning gray. We can put shampoo and all types of things in our hair to help these issues. We can try to control just about every matter of aging we want to through commercialized products. What does that really tell you, though? It really tells you that youth and life are fleeting. And that the Scripture understands it more than the world does. If you buy every aging product to help with the issue of growing old, you will be broke and probably will gain little from it. Don't spend your vigor and vitality trying to figure out how to stay young understand that your vigor and vitality is given to you for certain parts of your life, and you need to use them wisely. Even for the Christian, it's not spoken of here explicitly in the text, but there's an application for us in the context of our lives. Young Christians, your minds are more apt to learn and remember and deal with Scripture at a younger age. The older you get, it's harder. Doesn't mean as we get older we shouldn't stop trying to gain these things. It just means you have to recognize young people use your youth and vitality wisely. If you're taking in everything that the world has to offer you right now and not putting the Scripture in, not taking in the things of worship, not taking in the things that God has to give you, then you are wasting your youthful vigor. I'm not even 50 yet, and I look back at portions of my life and realize, gosh, I may have wasted some time. I had some real youthful energy that I just didn't put to good use. I was focused on something else. Sometimes it was maybe something fairly benign. Other times, maybe it was something worldly. Other times, it may have been something just plain sinful. If you're living your life trying to fulfill it with sinful things, you will miss out on understanding what God has truly given you in your youthful days. Even to the point that you'll misappropriate the ways and the wants of youth. It's natural for us to have desires and wants in our lives. And even here, the preacher is telling us there's impulses of the heart and there's desires of our eyes, and they can be really good and they can be appropriately enjoyed. But as one writer says, joy was created to dance with goodness and not alone. Why? Because the end of verse 9 says, if you're going to follow all these things, there's one thing you need to remember. As you enjoy them, think about what you're enjoying, to know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. Now, that's interesting, because a lot of times what we want to do is we want to focus on the negative of that, in the sense that God's going to bring you to judgment for that thing that you did, whatever it may be. But in the context of what we're seeing, that also means we're going to be brought to judgment for not having an understanding of being joyful in all that God has given us. Part of the issue of eternal judgment is that the sinner left to himself, who loves his sin or her sin more than anything else, they've had great joy in their sin and they did not have joy in God. And for us as believers, we need to remember that's why it's a command. We have been saved partially from a life of finding only joy in ourselves, which is ultimately finding joy in sin and sinfulness. We've been saved that we might have joy in God. What is the chief end of man? I won't fill that in because hopefully you've heard it. You and I are commanded to have joy and enjoy God Himself, to worship Him, to be in awe of Him. Young people, don't waste it. Don't waste this youth and time in your lives. Just as we talked about last week, grow those deep roots. Dig those wells deep now. You would say that for a pastor, because you would say, pastor, while you're young and not pastoring, young person who's going to be in the ministry, grow and dig those wells deep, because one day you're going to have lots of things coming at you. We can say it to someone who's not going to be a pastor too, because grow, dig those wells deep. Look at the joy that God has given you in salvation, because one day there's going to be life all around you and plenty of questions to answer. We ought to enjoy these things, but remember, we enjoy them with goodness, with righteousness. The preacher is not giving license here to loose living. because he's reminding us that there is a judgment. And ultimately, there's only one way to deal with that judgment, and it's through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two this morning, remember to live in trusting awe of the true Creator. Remember to live in trusting awe of the true Creator. First, we said, remember to live in the joy of everyday life. Well, we get a little better understanding of that even further in chapter 12. Remember to live in trusting awe of the true Creator. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. The first sense that we have to deal with is the very word remember. One writer says, for our part, to remember Him is no perfunctory or purely mental act. He's saying, don't let this be something that you just kind of have in your head and it's fleeting up there in your head. It just kind of passes you. No, to remember here, to remember our Creator is something deeper than that. He says it is to drop our pretense of self-sufficiency and commit ourselves to Him. I used to have this great hope that as I grew older that somehow the issue of self-sufficiency would just disappear magically. You know, that I all of a sudden I just became this godly person that just all of a sudden had all of this real trust in God, 98.9% of the time, and you know, I would just walk around in some great glow. It just doesn't happen, does it? Young people, you're at a part of your life where you're very strong. You're very strong in mind. You're very strong in body, predominantly. And your life is that way. And you're looking at your life right now and you're saying, wow, look what's here. No, you can't totally live in that self-sufficient spirit. The way to remember God rightly is to commit ourselves to Him. And when we commit ourselves to Him, it is to delight in God. Young person, old person, middle-aged person, whatever age you are, whatever place you are in life, do you really delight in God? Do you look around at economic situation, the political situation, and whatever else we could be depressed and pessimistic about? And do you have your delight in God? Are you so worried all of the time and unthankful all of the time that you're not remembering your Creator? When you're young, you don't do it because you think you've got the tiger by the tail, so to speak. You've got it all handled. When you're older, you don't realize, or you do realize you don't have it all handled, but the fact of the matter is you're still struggling to get a handle on it. And the Scripture is telling us to rejoice in God, to delight in God. Why? Because He gave you this very day. Whatever is happening out there, and Psalm 33 was clear, right? Our trust can't be in every political system. The victory doesn't come by the horse or the army. Not ultimately, it doesn't. We're to be reminded that there's to be a true delight in the Creator while we are young and while we are old. Delight in God by rightly remembering Him. If you want to rightly remember God, the first thing you do is you worship with the people of God. That needs to be important. If you want to rightly remember God, you look at His commands and see that there is blessing in His commands and they're not a yoke to your back. If you want to rightly remember God, look to the whole of His understanding of who you are as a person and who Christ is as Savior and Lord. There's got to be always something more. That something more is not in us. This is the problem. Youthfulness is always wasted when we are trying to figure out how to solve it by our own abilities. The ultimate problem that mankind has is not dealt with by our own pure human abilities. This is why we need to turn to God and delight in God. Do you delight in Him? Do I delight in Him? Is He the delight and the joy of my life, or do I wake up cantankerous and pessimistic and frustrated and somewhat angry, and I'm already mad before I even get a cup of coffee? Young people, whatever you see in the older generation today, you may say, well, I won't be like them, and then you'll turn around and you'll be like them. There was a day, I don't know when it happened, but I finally turned to Beth and I said, I sound like my dad. I don't know if that was just because I had kids or what it was. I found myself saying things that my dad said or my mom said. To deal with the struggles of this life is not necessarily to always inherit those things from the previous generation, except where those things glorify God. You need to delight in God while you're young, and then you'll be able to do it when you're older. If you think I'm going to live my life now and do what I need to do, and then one day I will turn to God in this way and I'll find delight in God later, no, you've missed it. The preacher is saying, do it now. Remember now. Remember in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near. Delight in God in your youth to store up joy for the coming dark days. You know the dark days are coming. No matter how young you are, the dark days are coming. They're not always dark, but they're coming. They're coming in darkness in two different ways. One way they come in darkness is by providence. Things happen that you're just not in control of. Things happen that I'm not in control of as much as I want to be. As much as I think if somebody would let me be in control, I could make things better. And the truth is, I can't. Would I really be the best president ever? Probably not. Probably not. Dark days are coming, so store up the joy now. Delight in God now so that you have that joy that's already there, that's promised through the fruit of the Spirit to you, and that is what is in your life. It also is coming because of our bodies. Verses 2 through 5 of chapter 12. Delight in God as dark days are approaching in the frailty of our bodies. This whole section of verses really is about the frailty of our bodies. The sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and clouds return after the rain. And the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and the mighty men stoop and the grinding ones stand idle because they are few. And those who look through windows grow dim. And the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And the one will arise at the sound of the bird. And all the daughters of the song will sing softly. Now there's lots that's been written about trying to section all of this out and to give you particular instances of the different parts of your bodies that are failing from the imagery that's here. I don't think we need to do that. I just think when you read this imagery, you need to recognize the truthfulness of what the preacher is saying. Young people, number one, recognize you will not always have a strong physical body and mind. It is going to change. You will turn around and you will be 20 years older, 40 years older. So remember the joyfulness of your Creator in the days of your youth. So you're storing up the joy so that when your body's failing, your joy and delight is in God and not in your ailments. It's hard sometimes as you get older to realize your body's not as strong as it was. And what you tend to do, and what even I do, is I wish I could go back a few years and have the same wisdom and information I may have now, but I had the body of my 25-year-old self. Why? Because I just got out of the bed every morning and didn't think twice about it. Young people, your bodies are failing. Those are the coming dark days. We'll all have dark providences, but your bodies are failing. And you need to store up joy now so that when your bodies are failing, you remember to delight in the Creator who gave you a body. Verse 5 is very pointed in it, telling us how our bodies fail. Even in the physical desire of a marital relationship. We often look around and we want to see different things. We want to take part in different things. But as we grow older, we're just not able to. Just part of it. But God still gave you your next day. God gave you whatever's going to happen in your next day. If you're young, delight in God and store up that joy, for the dark days are coming. If you're older, recognize maybe the dark days are here. But the dark days don't have to take over. God still gave you another day. Delight in the God who gave you another day. Have joy in Him and all of His glorious purpose and commands. Well, thirdly, this morning, and lastly, remember to live with the end in mind. Remember to live with the end in mind. Verse 6 says, remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. This is all imagery of things that you need in sustenance and living. And all these things are being crushed. What does it say to us? Life on earth is short. So know and remember God. Life on earth is short. So know and remember God. Many of us can remember days when it seemed like it took the summer forever to go by. I can remember, you know, just having so many things in life, think to myself, it's so slow. I just want it to hurry up. And the older you get, you go, where did it go? It happens so fast. Life will end. Life is short. So know and remember God. Now, he's not giving us every specific here in the idea of know and remember God. That's why we need Ecclesiastes in the context of the whole of Scripture. But he's giving you a very blanket or base level idea. The Scripture may fill in the blanks of what that means, but the very base level idea is if you are going to have a life that matters in the context of eternity, there's something greater to it. You need to know and remember God because life is short. And verse 7 gives us the shortness of life and the eternity of life, because it says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Life on earth is short, so know and remember God. Life on earth is not the end, so know and remember God. The body will fail, the body will die, but the spirit of a man does not die. It's immortal. And it will return to God who gave it. And God who gave it will judge every soul according to his purpose. This is important for young and old alike to remember, to live with the end in mind. Don't live with the end in mind to be morbid, but live in with the end in mind to recognize there's a greater purpose than just whatever you think or whatever the culture thinks should be the next thing you do. The dark days are coming. Your body will fail, and ultimately your body will die. And when it happens, will you have found delight in God, or will you have found delight in yourself? Two important questions. I'll leave you three observations this morning. Number one, God has joy in himself. Therefore, we are to have joy in him. If God is perfect and holy, and the scripture teaches us in different places that he has joy in himself. His ultimate joy is from his very own being. If he's perfect, he ought to have joy in himself, right? No reason to have a greater joy in anything else, because he himself is perfect. And he has joy in and of himself. Therefore, we are to have joy in him. Remember him. Have joy and delight in him. Understand God's word better so that you will delight in him. Number two, grumpiness is not a godly virtue. Grumpiness is not a godly virtue. To admit, there's just been times I've gotten older, I think I've become grumpier. I used to be very optimistic, probably to an nth degree that wasn't healthy, that showed my inexperience in life. But there's sometimes you try to claim, well, I'm a realist, when really you're just grumpy. You've just become grumpy, and you don't delight in what God has given you. And the scripture teaches us not to do that. Grumpiness is not a godly virtue. It's not anywhere in the fruit of the Spirit. You didn't see that in there in that list, did you? Joy, peace, grumpiness. Right? That doesn't mean we need to act like everything in life is perfect and we live in denial that the world around us has issues. That's not what it's saying. We can recognize the real serious issues of the world around us and not get caught up in the frustration and the chaos and the anger around us. And as believers, we should be striving to go against that and asking God to restore the joy of our salvation. Have you been saved? Have you been converted? Are you truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin and him alone? Is that not a place that can ground your joy in life, even though life around you is chaotic, frustrating, angry, and hateful? Is it not that truthfulness that you and I can deal with that in a context of what God has given us in salvation? Sometimes I'm grumpy just because I don't remember that God saved me and he's been gracious to me, and I'm self-sufficient and I think I can do it better. And that's the flesh. That's just purely the flesh. Grumpiness is not a godly virtue. Thirdly, grief, anger, and evil ruin the moments of life, which are fleeting fast. Look at verse 10 in chapter 11. The preacher says, "So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting." There are a lot of people out there wasting their lives in anger. The prime of their lives are going by, and they're just so angry. "Let's throw bricks at buildings and catch them on fire. It means so much. It's going to do so much. Let's do it. Yeah!" You're laughing and you're grinning, but you know. You see it. The seething anger. Even conservatives. "I hate those liberals! Just leave our country! Get out!" I wonder sometimes what's in our hearts. Is that the anger we're to live with as Christians? Those who have professed faith in Christ. Don't let grief and anger and evil ruin the moments of life. Because life is fleeting fast. You're going to turn around, it's going to be gone. It'll be gone. While I've spent time being angry at somebody, what else could I have been doing that was productive, that was delighting in God? What a wretched man I am. Lastly, godliness reminds us of appropriate enjoyment in life. You know, one of the main things about godliness is it teaches us how to enjoy the life that God gave us. Sometimes we look at godliness and think, "I'm going to learn these particular list of things to do, and I'm going to become this great legalistic person who knows every chart and thing to do at the right time." But one of the main things that godliness does is it teaches us how to enjoy the life that God gave us in Christ. I think really from scriptural context, we ought to learn more and more. There ought to be real joy in this life, and especially for Christians. And if we're not seeking to understand joy in the fruit of the Spirit, we are in direct violation of what God has called us to. Understand joy is one of the greatest things that we've been given. I'm not saying it's number one. I'm not trying to list it in some way. I'm just saying to you, I think sometimes we don't really take time to think about the importance of joy as those who are believers. And the world certainly isn't looking at it rightly. Remember joy. Remember joy in God. Remember to delight in God. Remember to make your joy in Christ the foundation of everything in life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've been merciful that we have this time to worship you, and in the time of worship to hear your word preached. We ask your Spirit deal with our souls according to the truth of your word. Please, please, Holy Spirit, use that which is true and right and good to deal with our souls. May we grow in your Son Christ according to these truths. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.